In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Over these next few Sundays, as we move ourselves closer by the grace of God to the Nativity of our Lord, my hope is to spend some time considering meditatively, contemplatively, some of the events and scenes in the life of our Lord at the time of His incarnation. And this morning I would like to start just a little bit earlier than the incarnation itself, or at least toward the nativity of Christ, earlier than the nativity of Christ. And I'd like for us to consider this morning the Annunciation to the Theotokos. I know that we have a separate feast for the Annunciation, but it is at the same time still obviously very connected to this feast of the Nativity of Christ that we anticipate. And what I would like for us to consider is the experience that Mary had, the actions that she took, and how that prepared her for the Nativity of the Son of God, which she bore. When we look at the icon of the Annunciation, which we have in the church here on the wall, but though the holy doors are open at the moment, you can't see them, are also on the holy doors, because the Annunciation is that first entrance of Christ into our life and the first entrance of us back into the life of God. When we look at the icon, we see Mary attentive to the archangel, listening to the word that he has for her. And we know the story. We know that he tells her that it is the will of God that she would conceive the Son of God. We know that she says, not in doubt, but to understand, to have true knowledge, not to be deceived. How is this possible? I know not a man. And then she says, let it be unto me according to thy word. And those words are transformative for all of creation. Those words are transformative for all of creation because they are the words that received the promise of God. Those are the words that received the promise of God and responded to that promise with hope. And that's what I'd like to speak about for a moment, is the promise that God gives to us and the hope that we live with. We oftentimes, like Mary then had to do, have to wait in our lives. Mary had to wait 9 months to see the promise fulfilled. How did she wait? She waited with hope. We ourselves so often have promises that God gives to us in our life, far more of them than we might realize. The church tries to teach us about this by giving to us the sacraments of life. When we are baptized into the church, it is a promise of life that is given to us by God. When we are chrismated into the church, it is a promise of our participation in the very holiness of God through the active participation of the Spirit in our life. When we are wed, there is a promise that God gives to us that the love that we have, if it is faithful to one another and to God, will bear out fruit 100-fold in manifold ways. Even when we are at our funeral, there is a promise that is made to the one who is reposed that though they become the dust from which they were made, they will be resurrected into the life of God. And a promise to those who are in mourning that though they are separated from those whom they love, they will be reunited because the power of divine love is greater than all of the brokenness of sin and death in this world. And if we were to look at the day-to-day activities of our life, we would see promises being given to us by God continually. When we go to sleep at night, we do so with the hope that we will awake in the morning. That hope is given to us. It is instilled within us because of the promise that God has given to us through the consistency of our life. That there have been, though there may be one day when we go to sleep and do not wake up, because that is the nature of the world we live in, God has given to us a stability in our life to know that when we go to sleep, He offers to us a new day. And when we wake up in the morning, that promise is fulfilled and a new promise is given to us. That this day is not in vain. that it has not been given to us by God to ridicule us with our shortcomings and our imperfections and our inabilities to fulfill things. But rather, it is about the promise that God gives to us, what He will fulfill in that day for us. And that same waiting in hope for the fulfillment of the promise is what we see with the Theotokos after the Annunciation. You know what she does? Is she goes to see Elizabeth, her cousin, who is also waiting with patience and hope for the promise to be fulfilled for her. She goes and the two of them enable each other to wait. They enable each other to be patient. And what does it mean to be patient? To be patient means to be able to stand in the midst of our life, to receive it, to accept it, to not shy away from it, and to live it in the hope of the fulfillment of that promise. And that is something that every one of us is capable of. I was talking a moment ago about some of the promises that are given to us. There are many promises that are given to us that come with great challenges in our life. When we think about the wedding service, in it we pray that the couple will receive children and that their children will grow up like olive shoots around their table. And many of you know and have heard, and it's been preached about many times within the church, that it takes 20 years or more for an olive tree to start to produce fruit. I don't actually know if that's true. That's what I've always heard, but I've never grown olive trees, so I could be wrong. But the metaphor, the symbol is there, because when we have a child, a promise is given to us, but it takes 20 or maybe 30 years to be able to see the fruit of that. And we have to know how to sit and wait patiently. When we go into a marriage and we have rose-colored ideals about that marriage, and then we begin to find that there are difficulties in living with one another, and it takes time, and it takes a promise that we do not forget, and hope that we do not stop practicing, so that in time we will see the fruit that God gives to that relationship, the fruit that God gives through our children, the fruit that God gives to the work that we do in our life. And to be patient is to hold on to that promise, to live with hope, and to stand in the presence of our life, to not shy away from it. And as we see with Mary and Elizabeth together, it is to do so in community. They give each other the space to wait with patience and hope for the fulfillment of the promise. They meet each other. They greet each other in one another's waiting. They make it possible for each to wait. They make it possible to be patient because they help each other remember the promise. And they see the fulfillment in time together. This is exactly what the church is continually offering to us. A time of waiting, a time of active waiting, because we are patient. We are dwelling in the midst of the promise. Dwelling in the midst of the promise and actively living the hope that we have. So that the fruit will be there and we will be there when the fruit is there. That we will be able to show up and be present when the fruit of our waiting and the fruit of the promise come together and meet. And we do so together. Whether that is because of the unique circumstances of our family lives, of our parish life, if it is because of growth within the community or the needs of the community, if it is because someone is suffering within the family or suffering within the community, if it is because there are new joys, new lives that are brought into the community, all the circumstances of our life are a gift from God that is a promise that our life is not in vain. That it is where He will fulfill His love for us. And that our activity, our action, what we are called to, is to wait actively, holding to the promise, with patience, that is to not give up, and to do so together, in holy communion with one another. Because that is what it is like to live as humans, like the Trinity lives. Seeing one another, enabling one another to continue to be in a loving relationship with each other, living perfectly together, fulfilling eternally the hope that is there in that relationship. That is what divine love is. That is what divine holy communion is. And that is what God promises to all of us. It is what is promised in every single moment of our life, because every moment is given to us as a blessing, a gift, and a promise. May we live not forgetting the promise. May we live always in the light of the promise and live actively waiting, not passively, not thinking that the circumstances of our life act upon us, but rather as seeing them as the place where we act out the hope that we hold to, so that we are able to bear the fruit that God promises to us. And that fruit is always and in everything incarnation, Him making Himself present in the flesh of our life, in the flesh of our relationships, in the flesh of our circumstances. And in doing so, proving that everything is gift and nothing is in vain with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Forgive me.